Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. It is clear to me that a full ban is the right choice. We have got that story plus Black Corps. But first, war is over if BB wants it. U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, if you nasty, from blockade lifting nuke talks and Hormuz reopening to a broader agreement. Grabbing this from GulfNews.com. In an ever-changing situation, the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, between Washington and Tehran is expected to launch a new 60-day negotiating period. The signing took place late on Sunday on Trump's 80th birthday, June 14th. Oh, you know, there might have been a giant UFC kicky-punchy fight going on at the White House because it's 2026. The framework agreement announced by DJ President Trump and supported by mediators including Pakistan, Qatar, and various other countries, as well as the United Nations, is intended to halt military operations while diplomats work through the most difficult unresolved issues. These include Iran's uranium stockpile, nuclear infrastructure, future sanctions policy, and long-term security agreements across the Middle East. The timing of Sunday's deal on Trump's birthday prompted criticism from some observers who questioned whether the administration was seeking a symbolic political victory alongside a diplomatic breakthrough. The Memorandum of Understanding expected to trigger a new 60-day negotiating period aimed at transforming a fragile ceasefire into a broader agreement addressing Iran's nuclear program, sanctions relief, regional security, and the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, all this per Axios. According to draft details of the MOU reported by the British-funded Rothschild Reuters, the agreement entails the following 3 points. Immediately reopening the Strait of Hormuz to commercial shipping, United States would begin lifting its naval blockade on Iranian ports, and this initial two-step process expected to be completed within 30 days. That doesn't sound like a step. A freeze on new U.S. sanctions and discussions on broader sanctions relief tied, of course, to Iranian compliance. U.S. blockade in the Strait of Hormuz expected to be lifted Friday when the agreement is signed on a giant big national holiday here in the States called Juneteenth, as per the State Department, quoting DJ Trump. The related articles, no Iran-U.S. nuclear deal unless Israel withdraws from Lebanon, so claims Hezbollah. Iran warns of a harsh response as Israel violates ceasefire 84 times in Lebanon. And that's the thing. I mean, I think they're all still lobbing bombs at each other. James, I guess you got to get in all those last shots before Friday when the real peace kicks in.
Well, that's it. And so, Brock, throw it up on the screen. New World Next Week, temporal alert. We are recording Thursday morning, Japanese time, Wednesday evening, U.S. time. So whatever happens in the next 24 hours, we don't know about. But yes, supposedly this memorandum of understanding is going to be signed on Friday. And finally, they have actually released the text of the MOU. So for people who want, I'll throw that in the show notes so they can peruse it. But long story short, absolutely no other way to frame this. U.S. real lost. Iran won this war. It is absolutely remarkable what is in this text. Complete dropping of sanctions against Iran, unfreezing of their assets, the creation of a $300 billion reconstruction fund. But the Strait of Hormuz will be opened again, guys, exactly as it was before all of this started. So there is no universe on which U.S. real can look with a straight face and say, wow, we totally got them, guys. We totally re-obliterated that nuclear program that we already obliterated several months ago, that they were weeks away from somehow reviving in some way that we couldn't stipulate. But now, actually, maybe enriching uranium isn't such a big deal. So, for example, this related update from Anti-War, MOU released by the U.S. says enriched uranium will be downblended inside Iran. So they don't even have to, remember when it was, we're going to have to go in and get the uranium out? That became one of the justifications for this war. Well, not anymore. Who cares? They can do it on site. We'll trust them. And,
you know, it is a little hard, though, when you say that somebody wants it, other people have it, other adjoining states have it, and you're not letting them have it for purposes of electricity and things like that. It's always a little tough. You have to use a little common sense.
AKA, hey, guess what, guys? Maybe a little enriched uranium between friends doesn't matter that much after all. So literally, this is a stunning defeat in every possible way. And all I can say is, yay, because at least it's over. And I don't care how they pull out of this, as long as it is over and they pull out. But sing it with me, folks. War is over, if BB wants it. And maybe he doesn't. This also in from anti-war. Ben Gavir, as in National Israeli Minister of National Security, Ben Gavir, says Israel cannot stop destroying houses in southern Lebanon. We can't do it, guys. We have to keep absolutely bombing the crap out of southern Lebanon and going in to take it over. So, yeah, maybe this is the real lesson of this. A war that wasn't started by the U.S. cannot be ended by the U.S. This war was started by Netanyahu in the Situation Room in the White House when he was giving his lecture to Trump about how this is going to be over in 3 or 4 days. And Trump went, yes, sir. Whatever blackmail, whatever goods they have on him, whatever Epstein video they have, whatever. They pulled out the ace card. He went along with it. And so now he's trying to get out of it. Israel wasn't even involved in this deal, but they're going to be involved in breaking this deal. So it's really just a question of how and in what way that Iran-Israel conflict gets solved. And I'm not holding my breath that this means peace and happiness in the Middle East. But anyway, that's just a stunning defeat for U.S.-Israel in this.
And as was said last week on this show, Israel being frozen out of the peace process because, as you said, they don't want it. I believe it was Axios that reported the phone call between Trump and Netanyahu. Are you effing crazy? Everyone hates you. You're the most hated country in the world. You're lucky I didn't bring you in on this. So really, I mean, good memes too from the Babylon BB, the hilarious satire of the Babylon Bee, all about, of course, the wave of Zionists, had Netanyahu in the UFC cage fighting a defenseless Palestinian girl. Whew, as we laugh to not cry, good googly moogly. In related UFC news, Sean Strickland is still hilarious. UFC champion says he's been banned from the White House fight over criticisms of Trump. Sean Strickland claims he was not cleared to attend the UFC event because he made fun of Israel and Epstein. And I think he still tried to show up and got the boot out. That's how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 634. Our second story, Black Corps. Israel runs secret avatar army to hijack elections worldwide. Grabbing this from 21st Century Wire, Black Corps, that kind of sounds racist. Most people outside France still have no idea what Black Corps is. They do not know that in March 2026, a company no one had ever heard of walked into French municipal elections, ran a professional smear campaign against left-wing pro-Palestinian candidates, then tried to erase its own existence as soon as investigators got close. And that's really, of course, the key about electronic espionage, is removing your digital footprints. They do not know that Black Corps is not a troll farm or a couple of rogue consultants, but the marketing name on an industrial influence machine built out of Israeli military intelligence alumni, a Tel Aviv law office, UK shell companies, a London server, and AI tools designed to manufacture social media personas and flood elections with BS synthetic narratives. As opposed to what? That's all I've ever heard in elections. They also do not know that the same ecosystem on the defensive side sells disinformation detection to Western governments and now has a former CIA director in the boardroom. As we have told you many, many times, as I learned from my man Richard Grove, the old boys, the CIA, that's your Wall Street. The story is about Black Corps, one word, camel case, alleged transnational influence operations using avatar networks, literally avatars, the picture of you on the internet, and disinformation, which extend beyond France to places like New York, Scotland, Angola, Togo, and likely many, many countries by the time this story is properly fleshed out. But it begins with what happened in France. It follows the trail through French state reporting, a joint inquiry by Haaretz and Libération, that broke open new details, corporate records in the Israel and in the UK, UK security filings, and the digital debris that Black Corps and its partners failed to fully clean up. It shows how a smear campaign aimed at three municipal candidates now points to a global Israeli information warfare ecosystem that touches many nations and cities around the world, the U.S. State Department, and of course the office of the hated aforementioned Benjamin Netanyahu. The investigation doesn't just repeat what Haaretz, Liberation, Reuters, or Viganum have already put on the table. It adds the Sadaka Palestine phase Black Corps used to infiltrate pro-Palestinian circles before turning its guns on them. The Ben-Guy escrow structure, and of course, don't forget the SEC paperwork. James, anytime I mention the SEC on my Morning Monarchy, I always mention the part that they burned their 9/11 notes related to insider trading. So SEC paperwork, you know, where available, that show how real ownership can be hidden behind AFIX Law Office, the Unit 8200, and Shin Bet careers that sit behind Galacticos Avatar Factory and the mirror on the other side of the membrane where Cyabra, Cygun, Ramben Barak, and Mike Pompeo sell detection tools that operate on the same signals as the attacks. And the related links we will include. Secrets of Black Corps, Israel's information warfare now has few limits or boundaries. James, could we throw in the takedown of Thomas Massie into some kind of situation like this? Black Corps.
Yes, it seems highly relevant to the whole topic of Israeli election interference, foreign election interference. And by God, this report, we are not even beginning to scratch the surface of this report. It is exceptionally detailed, and there's lots and lots and lots of moving parts here. So as always, I will encourage listeners and viewers to go and read the entire report for yourself. We're linking it up here from 21st Century Wire. I can't say I necessarily recommend the PDF we're also linking up, because it is some kind of AI translated slop that is difficult to read. But from the report itself, you get an incredible picture of all of these moving parts of this vast operation, which obviously was a largely online influence operation with distributed servers in different countries operating these avatars and doing these smear campaigns. But also there was, as they point out, a physical element to this. There were posters that were being put up in Marseille in France with QR codes, meaning there were actual physical operatives on the ground putting things up. Some of these operations started 6 months before the elections themselves even started. So there was definitely a long-term and a deeply involved strategy here. There's all sorts of organizational charts and other things in this incredibly extensive report. So yes, as I say, we're barely scratching the surface, but perhaps the key takeaway is, quote, in every theater, the target profile stayed the same. Elected or credible candidates who turned hard against the Gaza war or defended Palestinian rights found themselves under attack from an invisible army of avatars. And they even point out that this same network created this fake Palestinian aid organization, this humanitarian organization, Sadaka Palestine, that was being run by the same people who are running this influence operation and doubtless collecting donations as well as donor data from all the people who were genuinely concerned about Palestine. I mean, it's a crazy story, but it shouldn't be fundamentally surprising, at least the direction of this story. Certainly not for anyone with their head screwed on straight and or people who saw my recent report on Israel caught spying on US, because yes, they have, obviously, Israel has been the key espionage foe of the US and all their other allies for a very long time. And this is just another example of it. The Unit 8200 tentacles reaching out into seemingly every online space, Black Corps being no exception. I will just say, James, no, I think Black Corps isn't racist because the B is capitalized. It would be super racist if it was capital W White Corps.
You got me. So, James, we talked about it a couple of years ago. This seems a little bit more sophisticated than the army of Sports Illustrated fake avatars and influencers that we covered here. Good grief. And I have said, I'll say it again, my conspiracy theory is all of this rather legitimate anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian feeling, I'm saying, is ginned up by Israel to continue to paint themselves as a victim. As they get painted and pushed more into the corner, that's when it's going to get crazier. Our third and final story on This New World Next Week, episode 634, they get you addicted so that they can control the dosage. Or like, of course, the hated Archie Bunker once said, they tell you, man, you gotta have this thing. You can't live without it. Oh yeah, now you have to live without it. It's all about the dosage. They want to control people's addictions. Britain announces sweeping social media ban for under 16s. Grabbing this from Reuters, I guess they wanted to test it out, you know, in their cuck crown protectorates first. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said on Monday he would ban social media sites for under 16s and impose restrictions on gaming and live streaming platforms in a fight back against those evil big techers that goes farther than any other country. And we have been following this for you. The sweeping changes will give kids their childhood back, Starmer told repeaters, outlining measures against Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, and other platforms, as well as gaming sites that allow strangers to contact children. It is clear to me that a full ban is the right choice, he said. It'll make a huge difference. It'll make our children safer. It'll make our children happier. It'll give them more time, more security, more freedom to grow up, more opportunity. However, some experts doubted whether a blanket ban would be effective, and Starmer acknowledged it would be difficult to fully enforce such restrictions. Britain will go further than Australia, the first country to ban social media for children, with controls on gaming platforms and the possibility of overnight curfews and curbs on infinite scrolling for under 18s. So it's even worse than the headline notes. The possibility, yeah, overnight curfews. Could you imagine if parents like had the institute, like, what an idea. Is there a situation in the offline world where you would just let your child pair up with a stranger, an adult that you don't know anything about, he said? Some experts sounded a skeptical note about the proposals. And we've heard all this before. But James, you actually on this show said something kind of recently that rustled my jimmies, and I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, get rid of your smartphone. That's impossible. I haven't had a smartphone since 2016, and you might think I'm a little crazy, but I'm doing okay, but I also don't really go anywhere anymore anyway at all. The Monarchy stream, I will note, has been Linux for almost a decade. So James, here we are. This is another country banning social media, the thing they forced everybody onto for the scamdemic, but now, oh wait, we need to control your addiction, so we're going to have to take that away from you a little bit.
Exactly right. Yeah, James, first of all, absolutely, genuinely, totally, sincerely, hats off to you for escaping the smartphone trap. Absolutely. That is obviously the answer to the smartphone trap. Don't have a smartphone. In the exact same way, the absolute obvious answer to the social media ID checks is don't go on social media. That's absolutely the obvious answer. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, all of these. Why be on any of them? But how many people can say they're not on any of these platforms? I can say that, but very, 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 very few people would be able to say that. And that's the obvious answer. Ditch these stupid, controlled, bot-infested, algorithmically censored, narrative-shaping platforms that we know are being used for influence operations to shape your mind. But until we hold our breath and pigs start aerial transportation, I think we'll have to deal with things as they come. But the most insightful commentary I've seen on this so far has been from Kit Knightley over at Off Guardian, who writes the provocatively titled, Four Things You Cannot Say About the UK's Social Media Ban, which is a very insightful post. And he goes through some of the things that people are saying as sort of pushback against this digital ID check system that's coming into place, like, oh, but it won't work, you know, technologically, it's going to be too hard, and they'll use VPNs to get around it, etc. But as Kit points out, those types of pushback against this are stupid, because you are not actually pushing back against the fundamental underlying premise of the entire system, which is, screw you, I am not going to give my digital ID so that you can check and verify and trace and database everything I am doing online, everything I'm saying, everyone I'm talking to at all times. No, screw you. That should be the response to this. Not, oh, it's not going to work, or it should only be about limiting screen time instead of, all of those types of pushback are nonsense. So I highly recommend Kit Knightley's article so people can figure out the real way to push back on this, which is a gigantic screw you. And yes, the absolute obvious solution is don't be on these stupid controlled platforms in the first place. But as I say, I'm not holding my breath waiting for people to start getting off of these platforms.
James, the mainstream is now reporting what, of course, the alternative media has told you for years. Bots now outnumber humans on the internet. How did we let it turn into this giant garbage pile? Hey, don't leave Twitter just yet. I got a note about that coming up at the end of this episode. But have I told the world? I'm all about ideas, you know, dropping my Johnny Appleseed ideas everywhere. One of those services that, again, doesn't have to be the main one that everybody uses, so a proper name becomes the name for letting someone rent out your place for a little bit of time. One of those places that just has physical media inside and that there is no internet inside the Airbnb. Okay, there'll be a closet that you can go into so you can get some bars if you got emergencies with work. But I could see parents taking their families to the all physical media Airbnb, and I'll have it filled with records and tapes and books and comics and all that good stuff. I might have to put in some RFID chips to make sure people don't steal things. And if they do, it shows up immediately on their bill. That is New World Next Week, episode 634. We run newworldnextweek.com. And that's a way to support Corbett Report and Media Monarchy. You've never heard an advertisement on either of our works. And me, dummy, promoted the Media Monarchy hat to you last week when it's sold out. However, fully in stock of Corbett Report baseball caps. I do run the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before they're published on my radio stream at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. And for one last time, I will remind you, coming up this Saturday, the day before the summer solstice, I call it a Midsummer Night Stream, this Saturday, audio on my stream, video on, yes, my Twitter account, and of course on the independent powerhouse that is BitChute, for 12 hours, live DJing, yes, with physical media. And I do it as a fundraiser, I do it as a membership drive, I also do it just because it is fun, and I love it, and it is my lifelong passion to radio disc jockey for people. So they can find out more at MediaMonarchy.com. You can support us at MediaMonarchy.com/join. And huge thanks to the folks who have used BuyMeACoffee.com/MediaMonarchy. James, it is kind of a great platform for people overseas to be able to give one-off tips and not be hit with the deluge of VAT and taxes and all the other pile-on extra stuff that you'll find from a lot of the third-party middleman platforms. James, that is 634. It is getting hot here. Woo! How you doing?
It is heating up, but it has not hit the heat of summer yet, so I am not going to start complaining until we get to 99% humidity and 40 degrees every day. Anyway, I will not complain about that, but I will say absolutely congratulations. I'm glad the Media Monarchy hats have sold like hotcakes and are sold out. Now I'm wondering, what have people got against the Corbett Report hats? Come on, guys. Represent Corbett Report. Anyway, thank you for the stories, James. Let's do it again next week.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care.